This is Chanel Bunger with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with Douglas Arvin, the West Market VP and CFO of Essentia Health, who joins us today to share some insights into his background, healthcare trends he's keeping an eye on, and a lot more. Doug, thank you so much for joining me today. Can you please take a moment to introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your background in Essentia Health?
Absolutely, Chanel. Thank you. Maybe I'll start a little bit with just Essentia Health and a little bit about it. Our service area is located in the upper Midwest of the United States, serving patients in Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin. We include many Catholic facilities, so definitely an orientation with the Catholic faith, and it's guided by the values of quality, hospitality, respect, joy, justice, stewardship, and teamwork. The system has 14 hospitals, 78 clinics, 6 long-term care, and 6 assisted living facilities, and 1 research institute. We have 2,200 care providers, physicians, and APPs, and we also have over 15,000 employees that support our mission. With regard to me personally, you know, I've been in healthcare for greater than 25 years. I have worked in the financial area, financial operations, operations and strategy support at the system, division and facility level, and supporting both hospital and practice management, revenue cycle operations, supply chain and planning, and then managed care support and negotiation as well.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that introduction. Now, moving forward, what trends in healthcare are you currently keeping an eye on right now?
Gosh, there's so many to be looking at, but I think for us, we're an organization that works in and has a niche in rural healthcare and in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and North Dakota. And so one of the things we really have to think about is access and exposure to healthcare and how we bring those that healthcare to our patients. So something we really focus on here is our efforts around telemedicine and televisits. We have a focus there, which will have a goal of almost 100,000 patients seen in the next 12 months. And so that's a key initiative for us. And then, you know, appropriate reimbursement for that level of care and continue to enhance the quality of it. Another key thing for us is just the area around primary care access. So in a broad geographic area, like I've described, you know, there are pockets of primary care access shortages. And so we continue to, whether it's telemedicine or televisits or just primary care recruitment, to continue to improve that access. We also trends on digital strategies and how we continue to use IT platforms, whether it's through scheduling, through registration, you know, continue our, you know, our opportunities to connect with patients in that way. You know, some other key trends for us, I don't think this is probably different than a lot of people or a lot of health systems across the country, would be just worker shortage, healthcare worker shortage overall. You know, the pipelines for not just the workers of today, but as we think about the next 5, 6, 7, 10 years down the line, where will they come from? How will we make sure we're, you know, filling that pipeline, particularly as we think about the baby boomer population, which I happen to be a part of, and how those needs are going to be met as we go forward. So we do a lot of work on you know, being competitive with our wage and benefit structure within Essentia Health. We do a lot of work on even pipeline and looking for, you know, the next generation of healthcare worker, even at the middle school level, you know, within our markets, really trying to cultivate that interest with younger students. We have scholarship programs, and we do a lot of work with residencies and, you know, whether it's physicians or whether it's other care providers, that we're meeting those trends as we go forward. And I think for me, particularly as a finance person, you know, the credit market and just kind of what's going on with healthcare today with, you know, increased costs, often declining or reimbursement levels not keeping up with inflation on the cost side, and how the credit markets are really looking at healthcare overall and to support our growth as we go forward. That's certainly a trend that we look at closely. We know that the major rating agencies all have, you know, concerns about the healthcare industry, and the headwinds that we face. And so that is another trend we stay close to, and I stay focused on, with regard to cash performance and debt management as we go into the future. So those are things that are important to us. And with regard to the credit market, again, as we think about growth, and any healthcare organization thinks about growth, that they're able to do that in an affordable way. So those are two or three key trends that we that are interesting or concerning to me, and that we keep track of here.
Got it. Now, moving forward, you mentioned that you have 25 plus years experience, but kind of honing down into the last year or so, what is one change that you have made that has proven to have great results?
That's a great question. We always want to make a difference, right, with our work. And so it's always good to think back about the accomplishments. And so, one of the things in healthcare is, we know we're not price setters. We're price takers in that regard. And so, again, as I mentioned, that gap between reimbursement growth and cost growth is something we definitely face. And so what that puts a lot of pressure, and talked about the labor market as well as being very competitive. So what that puts a lot of pressure is on margins to continue to support our growth. And so a key area that we work on here is performance excellence. And some might call it lean or other process improvement, but it's a focus on improving our access for patients, improving our cost of care, and also driving our quality improvements and aligning quality to our total cost of care, and particularly in our reimbursement arrangements, that we can take advantage of that. So that's something definitely I'm proud of, the work that we're doing in that. We've seen year over year cash flow margins and operating income margins improve within the West market. And so that's been a very positive thing for us. Another area that I would say I'm particularly proud of, and again, these are all team efforts, they're certainly not one person, but would be our work with, I won't name the payer specifically, but with payers in our marketplace here, and how we've changed the paradigm a little bit in those relationships. And this is a two-way street, that we are looking more for the win-win solutions that help the payer, that help the provider, and mostly are focused on the patient and the customer overall. And so we have aligned around some new goals with some of our major payers in this market, focused on total cost of care improvement, but also quality improvement, patient experience improvement, and other key network development that will enhance our market share position, also will enhance our ability to meet patient needs in an appropriate way, and also to create greater access to our important healthcare services. So that's an area that I've definitely worked in personally this past year, and feel like we've made great strides with that and meeting our mission.
Absolutely. And you've mentioned growth a couple of times, but thinking or moving forward, how are you thinking about that growth in the next 12 to 24 months?
That's a great question. So, as an overall strategy, access is an important function of growth, and at the highest level is how we define it. But I think it's in the tactics of how you get there. And so one of the things we've jumped in to improve would be our work around our ACO, which is certified ACO, and grow our attributable lives. And again, we're further along the line in terms of this focus. And what that does for us, again, is going to create greater access. It's going to improve quality outcomes for our patients, because it's focused on not just for the fee-for-service moment, but actually how to improve their lives, improve their healthiness overall. And so that's something we're certainly focused on, across our region, and doing some great work with that. And so alignment with our providers and payers along that line. And so, I think those first two things kind of go together, as we can really change the shift from fee-for-service to more value-based work. We can certainly improve our access, and we can also, again, finding the right mechanisms for proper reimbursement to support that are key things from a growth strategy. Digital platforms, as I mentioned as well, how to access patients where they are from a scheduling, a reg perspective, and just our outreach in the community to connect people and their needs with our healthcare providers is something we have a great focus on. And so those are our key areas of growth. We also look at alignment with our providers too, a little bit different than maybe we're just not a build or buy system. We're looking for ways to, hey, this is a good way to align with our providers and find ways to create growth or synergies around that and help develop market share enhancement for our health system. So those are key strategies. We don't have major building programs planned at this point, but a lot of, again, focus on connection with the patient where they are and bringing services to them.
Well, Doug, I want to thank you for your time today, but before I let you go, is there anything else you want the listeners to know?
Sure. Well, thanks again for taking the time today, Chanel, and share a little bit about the things we're doing to meet our mission in our part of the country. One of the things, you know, I wanted to share with those listening, just suggestions, or when I think about younger workers, and I talked a little bit about that, or younger healthcare executives, and you know, what they might face in the future, and whatever words of wisdom we could provide on that. I think as much as we think of the challenges today, I think that in my prediction, the challenges will be greater in the future based on workforce needs and limitations, based on access, and just improving the cost of care and meeting the needs of our nation, our society. So one of the suggestions, and this probably comes from a financial perspective a little bit, a couple of suggestions I have. One would be, you know, continued learning for any young executive. You know, I think it's important to be efficient, and the goal of standard work is always a key goal to reduce waste, but never lose sight of the need for innovation and breakthrough thinking. And so I think that ongoing learning is something that's absolutely critical for young executives, and particularly in the finance area. As it's evolved, at least through my career, I think the importance of not just your knowledge of the industry, but your ability to collaborate, to be an educator, and to use your influential relationship skills to make changes and to create awareness are things I think that are important to hone and will be keys to success. So those are just a couple of suggestions I have. And again, thank you very much for your time today.
Got it. Well, Doug, I want to thank you for sharing all these insights with me today and for joining me on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and you have a wonderful day.